spirit in which it was founded. It does, after all, represent the rules of the mental processes of cognition and perception, which would seem to endow it with a mental character from the start. It has a basic functional inadequacy. It seems to require an external logician to mentally read, understand, and apply it. On the other hand, nature, or cognitive perceptual reality, requires no external logician to apply the rules of logic. Therefore, the proposed tautology-preserving principles of reality theory should put mind back into the mix in an explicit, theoretically tractable way, effectively endowing logic with self-processing capability. This, after all, is exactly what it possesses in its natural manifestation, reality at large, and is an essential dimension of the closure property, without which truth is insupportable. That is, reality must be able to recognize itself and impart this ability to its components as a condition of their existence and interaction. Having explained the main technical issues in reality theory, we may now cut to the chase. The way to build a theory of reality is to identify the properties that it must unconditionally possess in order to exist, and then bring the theory into existence by defining it to possess these properties without introducing merely contingent properties that, if taken as general, could impair its descriptive relationship with the real universe. Those can come later and will naturally be subject to empirical confirmation. In other words, the means by which the theory is constructed must be rational and tautological, while those by which it is subsequently refined may be empirical. Since we want our theory to be inclusive enough, exclusive enough, and consistent enough to do the job of describing reality, these properties will certainly include comprehensiveness, less thorough, but also less undecidable than completeness, closure, and consistency. To these properties, the three C's, we shall assign three principles that are basically tautological in form. That way, adjoining them to logic-based reality theory will preserve the tautology property of logic, rationally precluding uncertainty by the same means as logic itself. A theory of reality constructed in this way is called a supertautology. Because our three principles correspond to the three C's, and because they all begin with the letter M, we might as well call them the three M's, M equals R, MAP, and MU, respectively, standing for the mind equals reality principle, the metaphysical autology principle, and the multiplex unity principle. The M equals R principle, a tautological theoretical property that dissolves the distinction between theory and universe, and thus identifies the real universe as a self-reifying theory, makes the syntax of this theory comprehensive by ensuring that nothing which can be cognitively or perceptually recognized as a part of reality is excluded for want of syntax. MAPE tautologically renders this syntax closed or self-contained in the definitive, descriptive, and interpretational senses, and in conjunction with M equals R, renders the universe perfectly self-contained in the bargain. And MU tautologically renders this syntax and the theory universe complex it describes coherent enough to ensure its own consistency. Thus, the C corresponding to MU actually splits into two C's, consistency and coherence, and we have four altogether. To each of these principles, we may add any worthwhile corollaries that present themselves. Since it is the lot of every reality theorist to use properties of reality to explain reality, and these properties are recursively defined, we will sometimes implicitly or explicitly refer to various properties in the descriptions of other properties. This precludes a neat series of cumulative definitions, which is possible in any case only by taking for granted the content and wherewithal of theorization. Unfortunately, one can take nothing for granted in reality theory. As we will see below, the recursive nature of the CTMU is unavoidable. Secondly, the CTMU is developed backwards, with respect to the usual deductive theories of science and mathematics, by first peeling away constraints and only then using the results to deduce facts about content. Most theories begin with axioms, hypotheses, and rules of inference, extract implications, logically or empirically test these implications, and then add or revise axioms, theorems, or hypotheses. The CTMU does the opposite, stripping away assumptions and rebuilding reality while adding no assumptions back. The following principles are presented in three stages. The first stage includes the reality principle, the principle of linguistic reducibility, and the principle of syndiphonesis, which may be considered preliminary to MAP, M equals R, and MU respectively, the order of presentation, may differ slightly from that just given. The second stage consists of MAP, M equals R, and MU themselves, while the third stage consists of several auxiliary principles that can be viewed as their consequences. The reality principle. Reality, i.e. the real universe, contains all and only that which is real. The reality concept is analytically self-contained. If there were something outside reality that were real enough to affect or influence reality, it would be inside reality. And this contradiction invalidates any supposition of an external reality up to observational or theoretical relevance. While this characterization of reality incorporates a circular definition of relevance, the circularity is essential to the reality concept and does not preclude a perceptual, observational, scientific basis. Indeed, we can refine the definition of reality as follows. Reality is the perceptual aggregate including 1. All scientific observations that ever were and ever will be, and 2. The entire abstract and or cognitive explanatory infrastructure of perception, where the abstract is a syntactic generalization of the concrete standing for ideas, concepts, or cognitive structures distributing over physical instances which conform to them as content conforms to syntax. Diagram 5. It should be noted that any definition amounts to a microscopic theory of the thing defined. The reality principle, which can be viewed as a general definition of reality, is a case in point. It can be viewed as the seed of a reality theory that we have now begun to build. In defining reality as self-contained, this micro-theory endows itself with a simple kind of closure. It calls on nothing outside the definiendum in the course of defining it, and effectively forbids any future theoretical extension of this definition from doing so either. This becomes explicit in a related principle, the MAP. But now back to the cue. Thus far, we have learned that reality is self-contained. It is everywhere the same as itself. What about all of its internal distinctions? Syndiphionesis, reality is a relation, and every relation is a syndiphionic relation exhibiting syndiphionesis, or difference in sameness. Therefore, reality is a syndiphionic relation. Syndiphionesis implies that any assertion to the effect that two things are different implies that they are reductively the same. If their difference is real, then they both reduce to a common reality and are to that extent similar. Syndiphionesis, the most general of all reductive principles, forms the basis of a new view of the relational structure of reality. The concept of syndiphionesis can be captured by asserting that the expression and or existence of any difference relation entails a common medium and syntax, i.e., the rules of state and transformation characterizing the medium. It is from these rules that the relation derives its spatial and temporal characteristics as expressed within the medium. Thus, a syndiphionic relation consists of a difference relation embedded in a relational medium whose distributed rules of structure and evolution support its existence. Every syndiphionic relation has synetic and diphionic phases, respectively, exhibiting synesis and diphionesis, sameness and difference, or distributivity and parametric locality, and displays 2 forms of containment, topological and descriptive. The medium is associated with the synetic phase, while the difference relation is associated with the diphionic phase, because the rules of state and transformation of the medium are distributed over it. The medium is homogeneous, intrinsically possessing only relative extension by virtue of the difference relationships it contains. Because diphionic relands are related to their common expressive medium and its distributive syntax in a way that combines aspects of union and intersection, the operation producing the medium from the relands is called unisection. The synetic medium represents diphionic potential of which the difference relationship is an actualization. Diagram 6. This generic syndiphionic diagram illustrates a simple fact. Any difference relation requires a supporting medium with extension in the differential parameter. As illustrated, the medium distributes over both the linear relation x differs from y and its relands, related entities, x and y, bestowing on them a common relatedness property equating to inclusion in the relational medium X unisection Y, where X unisection Y is the unisect or syntactic product of X and Y. This common attribute invalidates any assertion to the effect that the difference between the relands is absolute or irreducible. The mere fact that the difference can be linguistically or geometrically expressed implies that it is only partial and that both relands are manifestations of one and the same ontological medium. Where X and Y represent arbitrary parts or aspects of the difference relation called reality, this diagram graphically demonstrates that reality ultimately consists of a unitary ontological medium. Accordingly, reality theory must be a monic theory, reducing reality to this medium. This idea is further developed in the principle of infognitive monism. Note that any syntactic, as opposed to informational, inhomogeneity in the common medium is itself a difference relationship, and thus invites a recreation of the diagram. Similarly, any inhomogeneity in the common medium illustrated by the recreated diagram would invite yet another recreation of the diagram, and so on. Any such syndophionic regress must terminate, for if it did not, there would be no stable syntax and therefore no relation stable enough to be perceived or conceived. The informational stability of perceptual reality shows that reality has a stable syntax. The above diagram might be compactly expressed as follows. Sin x unisection y, diff x y. For example, sin nom ax unisection nom bx, diff nom ax nom bx, means that where nom ax nom bx are surveyed by the system x and x at different times, locations or frames of reference a and b within the system, there exists a more basic set of laws, nom ax unisection nom bx, in terms of which this difference may be expressed. This shows that on some level, general covariance must hold. This is not merely true up to isomorphism with X, even if more than one valid set of laws can be distinguished, any one of which might be active at any given location, AB, within X, XA nom 1, XB nom 2, where numerical indices denote nomological distinctness. Any distinguishable difference between these sets also requires a common syntax. Informational coherence is thus a sine qua non of recognizable existence. Any system in which it were to fail would simply decohere for lack of anything to hold it together. In other words, 1. Where informational distinctions regarding a system X are regarded as instantiations of law, they can also be regarded as expressions conforming to syntax. And 2. The expression of differences requires a unified expressive syntax, or set of laws, and this syntax must distribute over the entire set of differential expressions, or instantiations of law. E.g., where X is a perceptual intersect consisting of generally recognizable objects, attributes, and events, the laws of perception must ultimately be constant and distributed. Where a putative nomological difference exists for some pair of loci, A, B, reductive syntactic covariance applies due to the need for an expressive medium, and where no such difference exists for any pair of loci, A, B, syntactic covariance applies a fortiori with no need for reduction. Syndophionic relations can be regarded as elements of more complex infocognitive lattices with spatial and temporal, ordinal, stratificative dimensions. Interpreted according to CTMU duality principles, infocognitive lattices comprise logical relationships of state and syntax. Regressing up one of these lattices by unisection ultimately leads to a syntactic medium of perfect generality and homogeneity, a universal, reflexive, syntactic operator. In effect, syndophionesis is a metalogical tautology amounting to self-resolving paradox. The paradox resides in the coincidence of sameness and difference, while a type-theoretic resolution inheres in the logical and mathematical distinction between them, i.e., the stratificative dimension of an infocognitive lattice. 32. Thus, reducing reality to syndophionesis amounts to paradoxiforming it. This has an advantage. A theory and/or reality built of self-resolving paradox is immunized to paradox. So far, we know that reality is a self-contained syndophionic relation. We also have access to an instructive sort of diagram that we can use to illustrate some of the principles which follow. So let us see if we can learn more about the kind of self-contained syndophionic relation that reality is. The principle of linguistic reducibility: reality is a self-contained form of language. This is true for at least two reasons. First, although it is in some respects material and concrete, reality conforms to the algebraic definition of a language. That is, it incorporates, one, representations of object-like individuals, space-like relations and attributes, and time-like functions and operations, two, a set of expressions or perceptual states, and three, a syntax consisting of A, logical and geometric rules of structure, and B, an inductive-deductive generative grammar, identifiable with the laws of state transition. Second, because perception and cognition are languages, and reality is cognitive and perceptual in nature, reality is a language as well. While there have been many reductionist programs in science and philosophy, the promised reduction is always to the same thing, a theoretical language. Because this is necessarily true, language is fundamental. The fact that most such theories, e.g. theories of physics, point to the fundamental status of something objective and independent of language, e.g. matter and/or energy, is quite irrelevant, for the very act of pointing invokes an isomorphism between theory and objective reality, an isomorphism that is subject to the reality principle, and which could not exist unless reality shared the linguistic structure of the theory itself. Perhaps the meaning of this principle can be most concisely expressed through a generalization of the aphorism, whereof one cannot speak, one must be silent, whereof that which cannot be linguistically described, one cannot perceive or conceive. So for the observational and theoretical purposes of science and reality theory, that which is non-isomorphic to language is beyond consideration as a component of reality. Diagram 7. In this Syndifionic diagram, the assertion, language differs from reality, is laid out along an extended line segment, representing the supposed difference between the Relands. Just as in the generic diagram above, both Relands possess the attribute inclusion in the relational syntactic medium, language unisection reality. Because they are both manifestations of the same underlying medium, their difference cannot be absolute. On a fundamental level, reality and language share common aspects. This is consistent with the nature of the difference relationship, which is actually supposed to represent a semantic and model theoretic isomorphism. As we have already seen, the reality principle says that reality contains all and only that which is real. As defined by this statement, the predicate reality is primarily a linguistic construct conforming to syntactic structure, where syntax consists of the rules by which predicates are constructed and interpreted. In this sense, reality amounts to a kind of theory whose axioms and rules of inference are implicitly provided by the logical component of the conceptual syntax in which it is expressed. The principle of linguistic reducibility merely clarifies the issue of whether reality is a linguistic predicate or the objective content of such a predicate by asserting that it is both. Thus, where the reality predicate is analytically or syntactically self-contained, reality is self-contained. This can be expressed as follows. On the level of cognitive perceptual syntax, reality equals reality theory. Where theory and universe converge, Occam's razor and physical principles of economy become tautologies. Because perception is a sensory intersect of mind and reality, perception is impossible without cognition, and to this extent the cognitive predicate reality equates to its perceptual content. On the level of cognitive and perceptual syntax, language is necessarily isomorphic to that which it describes. In a perceptual reality like that which exists around us, it is tautologically true that the basic language of cognition and perception is syntactically isomorphic to reality, though illusion and falsehood become possible on the semantic level. It follows that we can speak of reality in terms of generalized cognition and perception, where this phrase denotes conformance to cognition and perception on the syntactic level. In particular, generalized cognition is that process through which reality everywhere recognizes itself. The principle of linguistic reducibility provides a mandate to add an advanced form of language theory to the mathematical arsenal of reality theory. The reality theoretic benefits of this addition are incalculable. In conventional physical theory, the fundamental entities are point particles, waves, and more recently, strings. Each class of object has its problems and paradoxes. In the CTMU, the fundamental objects are syntactic operators, units of self-transducing information or infocognition, that are not only capable of emulating all of these objects and more, but of containing the syntactic structures to which they must inevitably conform and resolving their characteristic paradoxes in the bargain. Because meaning equates to semantic connectivity and is thus linguistic in every sense of the term, the shift to a linguistic perspective is indispensable to teleology or any other form of meaning. Now we know that reality is a linguistic self-contained syndifionic relation, although we still seem to be knowing it from an external vantage in a rather inspecific way. Where should we go next in search of clues? At this point, we could really use a map.